Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. My name is Kip Lacombe. I'm going to be joined today by Bob Harris, senior editor of FootballDiehards.com. And it's time to go through the waiver wire. Now, waiver wire is finally getting very important because we're finally entering bye weeks. Teams that have buys this week are Atlanta, Philadelphia, Arizona, and Carolina. So if you have any skill players from any of those teams, it's going to be very important to take a look at your waiver wires and see who is out there. I want to go and get things kicked off with some of the news of over the weekend. Mangini has announced today that Derek Anderson will be the starting quarterback in Cleveland, and the Eagles have released Jeff Garcia. Got lots of news to get to. I want to go through the entire waiver wire. So joining me now is Bob Harris, senior editor of FootballDiehards.com. Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Skip?
Oh, I certainly can't complain. Lots of stuff going down, so we don't want to waste any time. Want to quickly go ahead and get started with the announcement that Mangini has announced Derek Anderson will be the starting quarterback in Cleveland. Any surprises there, Bob?
You know, hey, nothing there surprised me. It wouldn't have surprised me if he would have went with Brett Ratliff. I mean, at this point, what's the difference? That team is just abysmal. The offense is abysmal. They're not running the ball well. They're not, you know, they're not throwing the ball well. I think, the one hope is, and I did watch last week Derek Anderson's effort, and yes, it was horrible. But they were playing from behind. The interceptions were, you know, obviously really bad. But by the same token, I mean, what was he supposed to do going in there? So I think, if you're looking for the silver lining there, and I'm not saying you should be running out and grabbing Derek Anderson. I mean, we all think back to his big splashy fantasy debut the year before when he had a 5-touchdown game. Probably not going to have a lot of those this year. But Braylon Edwards could be, you know, picks up maybe a little bit of credibility in terms of fantasy potential because at least Anderson will go down the field, and that's something Brady Quinn wasn't doing. He wasn't looking down the field. He seemed more content going the short and intermediate stuff. And the longer stuff is what, you know, is what Braylon Edwards is there for. So I would guess that Braylon Edwards is, if nothing else, happier and has a slightly better chance of being productive.
But on your fantasy team, if you can avoid it, you don't want Derek Anderson to be anything more than your backup for your backup, right?
That is absolutely 100% correct. Hey, the whole Browns thing right now, someone's going to have a good game on occasion. But as a general rule of thumb, you know, that's a 10-foot pole team, meaning
yeah.
I wouldn't touch them with yours.
Yeah, that's a luck out on a bye week, got him off waivers type of situation. All right, also to the Eagles. And I got to feel really bad for Jeff Garcia at this point. I hope he just rents wherever he goes because the Eagles have now released him too.
You know, I don't think he really cares. I mean, I think he knew that it was going to be a limited stay there. And I think, you know, going forward, I mean, hey, Kevin Cobb was the offensive player, NFC offensive player of the week. I mean, he wasn't moving up. He wasn't moving up that ladder. Not with, you know, they're going to have enough issues coming back from the bye in week five, trying to figure out the pecking order behind Donovan McNabb, who will return. Again, you're going to have Michael Vick in the mix. You know, whether it's as a glorified decoy, I would take the approach that LeSean McCoy looks like the better Wildcat option. They're taking the direct snap than Michael Vick did for all the hype we had and everything, but. I think, you know, as far as the quarterback situation, they may have to keep all three guys active if they want to do that Wildcat thing because, you know, with McNabb coming back off an injury, I know he'll be in better shape week five, but, you know, still coming off the injury, you know, they're going to have a legitimate quarterback. And honestly, I just don't think Mike Vick is that and may not be that, you know, this year. And who knows, may never be that. So, they're going to have to figure some things out during the bye, but fortunately they have a good 14 days to figure things out.
I absolutely. Also want to move into a big injury from over the weekend. Chad Pennington has now been ruled out for the entire year. It looks like Chad Henne will be his replacement and will be the starting quarterback in Miami. Also, Tyler Thigpen has been traded to Miami, too. How do you like the quarterback situation shaking up in Miami now?
You know, I think we're going to, you know, hey, Henne is not on a short leash. Thigpen, I don't think, is there to push him. Now, who Thigpen might push is Pat White in that Wildcat role. If you remember last year, where Thigpen was most successful was kind of in that gimmicky offense the Chiefs ran. They ran kind of a spread. I think they called it the Gulf Coast offense or something. It was a spread offense, and it really relied on his athleticism. Maybe that's why he's there. Maybe they think he's a little bit better option for their Wildcat quarterback than Pat White has been, who hasn't thrown the ball that well, since he's arrived. So, but Henne is the guy there. So, you know, those of you in a bind for a quarterback and in an absolute, let's say you have Jamarcus Russell and Derek Anderson. maybe Chad Henne's the guy you start looking at. I think, you know, it's not, hey, the Dolphins are going to be a run first team, but, you know, we're talking about people, you know, people looking to, you know, the buys are starting, things are going on, guys are hurt, there's a number of quarterbacks out, there's a number of quarterbacks who are coming up short. So, you know, Henne is a viable option. He's going to, I mean, I think he's going to be a, you know, the, I don't think he's a guy that's just in there temporarily to see what he can do. I think he's there. You know, there were people talking this offseason and early this summer that pretty much the job was going to be his next year anyway when Chad Pennington's contract expired. So I think that's the direction they were heading anyway, and we'll see what he's made of.
Yeah, and I don't really think anybody expected Cobb to have the type of numbers he did in his first two starts with the Eagles. So, I mean, who knows, Henne could be the spark that this team needs to really explode.
That's absolutely a fact.
All right. Also, too, moving on to Dallas, they're plagued by injuries at running back. We got Felix Jones, Marion Barber, all injured. Looks like Deshard Choice is going to be the main guy in Dallas. Talk about that.
Yeah, if somehow Deshard Choice is sitting there on your waiver wire, please jump on him. I doubt that he is. Felix Jones has a sprained PCL. I think we're starting to get, you know, the question about him is starting to become, is he the dragster, you know? Is he the thing that runs his quarter mile, and then you better take him to the garage, tear him down, put him back together, put all new parts in him? Because he's been hurt, you know, a fair amount. I mean, he's averaging 10 yards a carry so far this season, but he can't just, you know, he can't seem to stay, you know, stay all in one piece. It's a little bit of concern. You'd love to see a guy like that who can play like that remain on the field, but he's been unable to do so. Now, Marion Barber should come back. He was close last week, they say. Could be close again this week. You know, I suspect he'll be back. But, you know, the initial reports are that it's heading in that direction. Denver hasn't given up touchdowns. It's going to be a tough game. But I think Choice is the guy. Choice is the back of Choice for Dallas this week until we see a little bit more from Barber as the week progresses. He was on the practice field today, but I'll remind you, he was on the practice field all last week before they ended up sitting him. So,
yeah, for all that means he was folding towels.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was in uniform, though. I can tell you he was in uniform and in pads. But, again, you know, he was doing that last week. So, you know, let's give it a few days. I do think he'll be back. But Choice really looks, you know, hey, every time we've seen Deshard Choice, he's gotten the job done. So why not keep using him?
Also, too, Frank Gore owners are a little concerned as the MRI did reveal the injury that will keep him out about 3 weeks. Big worry there, who's going to be the backup now that Frank Gore is going to be out?
You know, interesting, they're not making any roster moves, so they'll be going with Glenn Coffey, the rookie, as their starter, and that's why Coffey's there. I think, you know, they think he can be a guy that can fill in. They also have Mike Robinson behind him, kind of a, you know, converted quarterback, came in the league. Switch to running back. He's played a lot of fullback this year, but he's a capable guy and can do short yardage work if Coffey can't. But Coffey's a great pickup if he's on your waiver wire. I think a lot of people probably had him handcuffed to Gore. That's, you know, that will turn out to be a good move. And it doesn't sound like Gore's injury is as bad as it could have been or as bad as it looked when he was getting carted off the field into the locker room last week. But 3 weeks is 3 weeks. That's, you know, part near quarter of the season, value dropping.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else that we missed from over the weekend we need to get into before we get to the football diehards waiver wire?
You know, I think in terms of injuries, you know, Matt Hasselbeck doesn't look like he'll be ready to come back yet. You know, so Seneca Wallace is another week. Again, if you're hurting for quarterback, they're going up against the Colts, maybe without Dwight Freeney. Wouldn't that be helpful for you? Remember, it's bye weeks, of course, for everyone. So you know, there are going to be a lot of needs, you know, a lot of need to make waiver wire moves. So check in your list early and make sure you're in before your deadline, so on and so forth. In terms of other injuries, I think in addition to the quarterback situation, we got another week where we're not real sure what's going on with Jamal Lewis. That's a little bit of a worry.
What about LaDainian Tomlinson? Any more word out of San Diego?
Yeah, I'll get there. He did practice today, and everyone seems optimistic about him coming back. So my guess is they'll try and get him. But keep an eye on on the late breaking news section. The fact that he got in what it sounds like a full practice today is a good sign. Matt Forte was limited today. That's a little bit of a worry. He left the game a little bit in Seattle. Has a sore knee. There's, you know, he hasn't been especially effective overall anyway. There's a lot of reasons for that, including the offensive line. But keep an eye on his progress in the coming days. Cedric Benson also didn't practice today. Don't think it's going to be an issue. He's been playing just fine despite the ankle injury he's had. Broncos are in pretty good shape. So, you know, I think most of the troubles there have to do with the scheme and roles. But in Detroit, we have Kevin Smith may not be able to make it on the field. He did not practice today, has shoulder, left the game last week early, their first win. They're breaking their 19-game losing streak. So Maurice Morris is a guy that you might want to be looking at if you have Kevin Smith right now. He had kind of fallen off the radar, Morris. Put him back on. He will be a useful guy.
All right. Well, I want to start actually getting to the waiver wire and see some of these people who had been making some moves over the past couple of weeks. First of all, Lenny, you guys know buys are Atlanta, Philly, Arizona, and Carolina, so any of your players on there, be sure to take note. At the quarterback position, we've got Matt Ryan, Donovan McNabb, Kurt Warner, Jake Delhomme, so just be mindful of that. What quarterbacks out there are you really liking right now, Bob?
You know, I think if you're looking for guys that are coming right out, I mean, Josh Johnson, Chad Henne, the new starters are coming out. I think, you know, you've got to be careful with those guys, but sometimes you can catch lightning in a bottle with these guys that come out, you know, with that first start. People haven't seen them. There's not a lot of film on them, and so that they do catch that. So if you're looking for the one-week buy fill-in, go ahead and make that move. If you're looking for a little, maybe something a little more solid, you might want to look, go, you know, maybe towards Matt Stafford. I mean, hey, is he throwing a fair number of interceptions? Yeah, but does he have a lot of weapons around him? Sure, I think he's a viable guy. Seneca Wallace is also another guy that you can do short-term. Otherwise, I think, you know, of the other long-term guys that I'd be looking at, I think, you know, you're looking at some of the new guys coming in. Chad Henne might be the best of the new guys coming in to look at over the long haul.
All right, too, looking at the running back position, the big players you're going to want to be sure is on a buy is Westbrook, Michael Turner, Tim Hightower, D'Angelo Williams. Who are some of the people you like coming out? You mentioned Glenn Coffey earlier.
Yeah, Coffey's a guy, if he's available on your waiver wire, grab him now. You know you're going to get at least 2 weeks out of him, probably three. Maurice Morris, a guy, and especially this week, I mean, he had a really good game against Chicago the last time he played against them as a Seahawk. Sure, things have changed. He's on a new team. But it's worth noting, and seems like he'll be the guy, assuming Smith doesn't go, and I don't think he will. And again, if choice is available, jump on that hard. Get on your roster and don't let him go. I mean, he may be useful as the season rolls on. So I like all those guys.
All right, moving on to a wide receiver. Who do you like that's out there right now?
I think, you know, the guys that are just kind of maybe floating around on the edge. I mean, you know, if you're Andre Caldwell jumps out from Cincinnati. He seems to really be his efforts work the off season with Carson Palmer went to California while Chad Ochocinco and others were doing other things. He was out there every day throwing, and it really looks like Palmer's got an affinity with him, and he's been in the game in some critical spots, and he's made some big plays. I think if nobody in your league has jumped on Pierre Garçon, you can jump on him. If you're in a bind too, Justin Collie will make a play or two at some point. I think another guy that's really flying under the radar that shouldn't be is Mike Wallace in Pittsburgh. There's talk this week that Lima Sweet could get benched in favor of even Sean McDonald. So Mike Wallace has clearly locked down the number three spot there. And he's made some big plays. And another guy, you know, if people haven't already caught on in Jacksonville, Mike Sims-Walker is, you know, I think it's safe to say he's established himself as the number one receiver there, you know, the lead guy. So go ahead and jump on him if you can get him. And I think those are the guys I kind of like this week.
Yeah, Nate Burleson in Seattle, too, kind of has the tough matchup going up against Indy. But
you know, he's kind of emerged, too, as the number one receiver there in Seattle, too. So, yeah, by all means, if a guy like that is available on your waiver wire, absolutely. And another guy maybe you want to look at is Brian Johnson in Detroit, who's finally given the Lions a little bit of a number two option opposite Calvin Johnson that seems to be a credible enough threat to help to at least help Calvin out and maybe help you out a little bit if you're in a bind.
All right, on the tight ends, the big names on buys are Tony Gonzalez and Brent Celek. Who do you like who might be able to pick up for a one-week type thing?
You know, if you're looking for just a one-week guy, you know, hey, you know, the Derek Fine in Buffalo is getting some time. Derek Schumann's out. Sean Nelson's a playmaker there, but he's had a little trouble with his health. He's limited again this week, so if you're really in a bind, Derek Fine might be a guy you can pick up on and take care of. I don't know if Vernon Davis is available in your league, but he's finally emerged as a pretty viable threat. You know, he came on, he kind of took a lead role in the passing attack. And you know, if you think about it with Frank Gore out, you know, they're a run-first team. They've made no secret of the fact they'd like to run 60-40, but maybe they'll put the game a little bit more in Sean Hill's hands and see what he can do. That's why he's there. He's been very efficient, very effective, and maybe they'll give him a shot to be, you know, to be the lead quarterback that they asked him to be.
Also, too, San Francisco going up against St. Louis, so Vernon Davis should have at least a decently productive game.
I would hope so.
All right, moving on to defenses, too. Our waiver wire is putting Houston versus Oakland as one of the matchups, also Cincinnati at Cleveland. What are your thoughts on those two?
You know, I mean, you're playing with fire. If you're in that bind, and hey, you may be because of the byes coming up. You know, Houston has not been playing that well. Oakland did not playing well either offensively, but you know, that's the obviously nice matchup. And the same with Cincinnati going up against Cleveland. The Browns haven't scored a meaningful touchdown since last year, so you know, I'm not sure that's going to change markedly this week. And Cincinnati could be good. And again, you know, like you just mentioned, there are others out there. Denver, I mean, people are catching on to them, but if guys in your league are a little bit slow, definitely jump on them. They aren't giving up a lot of points, and they're playing pretty darn well.
Do I want to ask you about a couple of players who had big expectations coming into this year who maybe haven't been living up to their full expectations, people like Tom Brady, who may be still rocking some rust out of the I don't want to say his knee, but still. Are we going to be able to see the productiveness out of players like that we've seen over the past couple of years, or has Brady maybe peaked?
You know what? Brady seems to ebb and flow just a little bit based on the presence of Wes Welker. You know, that first week we were all very excited about Tom Brady. He was Tom Terrific again, and Wes Welker was on the field and caught 12 passes. And since then we've seen very little or none of Wes Welker, and I think that's been an issue. He doesn't have the chemistry with Joey Galloway. Julian Edelman's kind of the mini-me version of Wes Welker, but he's not Wes Welker. And I do also think, I mean, when you watch Brady play, I mean, he's missing throws that he used to hit. I mean, guys are getting overthrown by one step, or he's a little high or a little outside. And that may be, you know, that may be knee-related. I mean, just watching him, you know, he's not as effective as he was. But do I think that's going to come? Yes, I do. The Patriots are a patient bunch. If you remember last year when Brady went down, you know, the way they came along with Castle, you know, they didn't ask him to do as much. Maybe we'll see the rushing attack. You know, Fred Taylor looked pretty good last week. I think maybe we'll see a little more of that to take some of the pressure off Brady as much as they can. And he'll be fine. You know, when you got Randy Moss in, you know, I thought it was interesting. I saw Mike Reese of the now ESPN, formerly of the Boston Globe, doing a little speculation on Welker today. And he wondered that if Welker hasn't cleared up, you know, if his knee isn't better by the bye, if they might not shut him down and maybe clean that knee out with a scope and hope to get him back by the end of the year. It's something to watch because, you know, honestly, when a guy's knee is, you know, when you have that situation, he's obviously bothered by some swelling. So when the swelling is this early in the year and he can't seem to get better and he's not better after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks, and after the first month, I think it makes sense what Reese said. So that's something worth watching, and if that's the case, then, hey, you want to watch guys like Julian Edelman. Maybe even Galloway will finally hit stride at some point, you know, and those will be guys that will be available to you in maybe next month.
Two, I can't remember. Did you touch on Randy Moss and our injury updates, too? How is he doing?
You know, Moss is questionable. Well, he was limited again today. He went into last week's game questionable, came down with a sore back, definitely toughed it out, had a big game. I don't think he's going to miss any time. I think Welker's the guy that's a little bit more of a concern there.
Okay, to another quarterback I wanted to ask about is Jason Campbell showing up on our waiver wire as well this week. Had a big game, 340 yards and two touchdowns in their loss in the game against Detroit. But is he going to have a lot of value?
You know, I think the problem there is going to be the week-to-week consistency. It's going to be hit or miss because why? Santana Moss is hit or miss. Santana Moss shows up some weeks and some weeks he don't. And the weeks that he shows up, I think Campbell's going to be pretty good. Now, you know, if you're in a bind, if you're in a pinch, sure, Campbell's going to be on the field. But that offense is just struggling, and I'd maybe look different directions if I possibly could. Clinton Portis is kind of, you know, not feeling great. He didn't practice today. He's got bone spurs supposedly in both ankles. That could be an ongoing issue. Now he got kicked in the calf. And none of the other receivers, other than Chris Cooley, really are stepping up with the consistency. Antoine Randall started off hot, but he's kind of slowed down a little bit. So, you know, I'm not hot on Campbell, but if he's, you know, he is going to be one of those guys available, and his job is pretty safe for now.
What's your thoughts about maybe picking up Kevin Cobb as a backup for later in the year, too, just in case there's any issues that come down with McNabb, who seems to be pretty injury-prone?
You know, in some of these cases, if you have an open roster spot, it wouldn't be bad. You know, I think in the case, another case of that would be Kurt Warner, you know, maybe getting Matt Leinart. Warner's been struggling along with a shoulder stinger that's kind of bothered him, you know, at last two games. It's clearly been an issue for him. Now they're downplaying it, and he's going to practice this week like it was normal, even though they're on the bye. But I think in cases where you do have enough room on your roster to keep an extra guy, stash a guy on there, maybe that's a good, you know, if you have McNabb, maybe Cobb's a good guy to have on there. And if you have Warner, maybe you want to start thinking about Leinart at some point.
All right. Anybody else out there you're seeing who is flying under the radars right now, having a really really good first 3 weeks, not really getting the respect you think they deserve?
You know, I think most of them are getting the respect. I mean, I have some guys that we probably want to bring up. You know, I think Donald Brown has looked very good for the Colts. And the Colts offense has been kind of strange. So I mean, you know, people went into the season as a, you know, I'm going to generalize here, you know, a little bit down on Joseph Addai. I've been high on Joseph Addai. I think he's been playing great, but the touches have been limited, and Donald Brown has really, really flashed in the times he's got, he's been on the field, and he's made some really big plays, had a 72-yard catch against Arizona. And I'm not sure if Joseph Addai's workload is going to diminish, but they're going to have a hard time keeping Brown off the field. Another interesting situation is the backfield in Baltimore. I mean, Willis McGahee is leading the league in touchdowns with 6 touchdowns in 3 weeks. You know, at some point, is he going to emerge? Is he going to move in front of Ray Rice? I mean, Ray Rice has been the darling all summer. We've all been high on him. He's not playing poorly, but McGahee has clearly accepted the challenge presented with him with being the backup. Now, maybe he'll be better in that limited role and they won't make a move. But that's a situation to watch. I'm telling you, McGahee seems to be motivated, has been healthy. If he starts getting dinged up, it's a little bit of concern, but he's not there yet. I think if you're looking for other guys, you know, guys that may be coming off the injury list soon, Chaz Schilling's in Oakland's not quite there, but getting closer. You know, I worry about anyone playing with Jamarcus Russell, anyone on Oakland's roster. I mean, I think we've talked before, and I've said Darren McFadden is really the only guy worthy of any fantasy, you know, consideration on that team, and I'm not even sure he's there anymore. So, you know, but we all saw what Chaz Schilling's capable of late last year. We saw it early this preseason. Maybe that's what, you know, maybe Jamarcus can drop 20 pounds sometime before Schilling gets back and maybe make a viable combo. Lewis Murphy's been, you know, hey, Lewis Murphy's been all right, but I don't know if it's, you know, what the overall issues there, I think, lie with Russell more than with his receivers, although Darius Hayward-Bey is not so impressive. One catch more than Michael Crabtree right now.
Yeah, that's just lovely. Another player I wanted to ask about is Terrell Owens. Certainly has been somewhat of a bust in Buffalo so far, but this last week, if you don't even throw the ball to him, he's not going to have any chance to catch it.
You know, I think I'm not as worried about that situation. They're going to get another weapon back this week in Marshawn Lynch, and that's another situation, you know, people are going to need to watch. I think Lynch is not going to come out and be, you know, the clear lead back anymore. Fred Jackson has clearly earned a bigger role. But, you know, that seems to be where their playmaking, the center of their playmaking is. And, you know, Trent Edwards is catching all the captain checkdown flack, and with good reason. I mean, he's looking shorter, and the running backs are one of the reasons, and Lynch is going to add to that. So Terrell Owens is not a guy I expect to suddenly explode, or Lee Evans for that matter, suddenly explode and have huge numbers. They may come up with big games on occasion. Any of these guys are capable. Those guys are fast, athletic, and, you know, there's no doubt that Trent Edwards can get the ball downfield, but that doesn't seem to be the goal right now. So, I mean, at this point, I'm not real excited about anybody wearing a jersey or lining up on the outside in Buffalo.
Yeah. How did you think he handled that press conference from the other night? He seemed to really be getting baited to try to blow up. And for the first time, we've seen a more reserved Terrell Owens, where he really did not want to explode, wanted to kind of keep his mind in the right state of mind, say, I don't want to answer that. I feel you're being
unfair. I think it was that cool gear he was rocking, man. That had.
Oh, come on. Hey, that's my quarterback gear. That's the same outfit he wore when he started crying about Tony Romo. That's my quarterback.
That's a good-looking suit. Hey, you know what? You know, as irritating as I find T.O., I mean, what's he going to do? I mean, if he says what's on his mind, people are going to tear into him. If he does that, what he did with the non-responsive answers, people are going to tear him up. He can't win for losing. He did call the league and ask if he had to talk at press conferences. The league told him, yes, he does. And so he is. And I think, you know, I actually believe he's trying – in his own T.O.-ish way, not to make trouble. But it just doesn't matter. Anything he does is going to make trouble, and he owes it all to himself, even if he can't see that.
Well, is he ever going to be able to get out of that cloud? I mean, in my personal opinion, I don't think he could have possibly handled that press conference any better than he did.
I don't either, but it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, it's just the history is there.
It makes us talk about it.
He's built his house. Now he must live in it.
Mm-hmm. All right, finally wanted to now I forgot my last question for you. Any other wrap-up type things? We've got about 2 minutes left.
I don't know if we touched on the Rams quarterback situation. Kyle Bowler looks like he'll be starting for Mark Bulger. Laurent Robinson, their top receiver, was out, so they're going to be bringing in Keenan Burton into the starting lineup. I'm not sure I'd get real excited about that, but I am a little excited to see if Bowler can kind of carry over. At least he showed a little bit of spark. And if they could take just a little bit of the pressure off Steven Jackson, maybe it would unleash him to he's been putting up decent yardage numbers, but maybe they could get some bigger plays out of him if they could get something in the passing attack. Daniel Fells, the tight end there, has caught 2 touchdowns last week. I'm not sure we can expect that every week, but, Bowler certainly seemed to look his way. So if Bowler starts again, that might be an interesting thing to watch for.
Yeah, the last piece of news I wanted to mention on that was Michael Vick has finally signed another endorsement deal with Nike, actually. So the first organization has gone and re-signed him as a spokesperson. Any quick thoughts on that?
Boy, that's an interesting move. I'm not sure.
I was surprised.
I was, too. When I saw it, I kind of went, wow, that's pretty darn quick. Mike Vick wants to be a quarterback in this league again. At some point, he might be a viable spokesman. So get him under contract now before somebody else jumps on him. But I'd keep him under wraps for a little while.
Absolutely. Well, check out the website, footballdiehards.com. We're also tweeting on fantasynation.com. Flash update is up tomorrow with more information than you could possibly ever need. Bob, have a great evening, and I'll see you on Friday, all right?
I'll be here.
Very good. Until next time, this has been the footballdiehards.com podcast.